I'm Alan Walker, and in this episode I spoke to Nigel Holland of the Holland Network about resilience. We discuss what exactly resilience is, why it's important right now, and how you can build more of it. We also briefly compared our equally disappointing football teams. Enjoy!
Please take your seats. This evening's performance is about to begin.
Hello Nigel, how are you?
I'm very good, Alan. Pleased to hear from you.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I'm pleased to hear from me and you, actually. No, it's great to chat. And I know you reasonably well now. But for those in the audience who are unfamiliar with Nigel, can you give us a quick introduction as to who you are and what it is you do, please?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Nigel Holland. I'm from the Holland Network. I've spent my professional career leading several businesses, notably within Tata, Kraft and Boots. And over the last 2 years, I set up the Holland Network, a performance coaching business, specialising in both emotional intelligence and resilience.
For the uninitiated, and I include myself in this, even though we have chatted about this stuff before, what exactly is resilience?
Well, Alan, the dictionary definition of resilience really talks about the act of rebounding or springing back. So it's effectively the capacity to recover from difficulty and to come back with new vitality and resolve, to recover your mojo, I guess, and emerge stronger from adversity.
So it might be that bounce back ability. I can't remember who coined that phrase a long while ago, but kind of makes sense. So it's not necessarily stopping bad stuff happening, but it's picking yourself up again afterwards.
Yeah, that's right. But I think the interesting thing really is its connection with stress. Because stress, on the other hand, is the perception that you can't cope. And what this does, it triggers fear, hijacks the brain, and often leads to faulty thinking and irrational behaviour. And resilience and stress are linked. With your stress, when that goes up, your resilience goes down. And really the secret here is to manage and lower stress in order to build long-lasting resilience.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Why is resilience so important now, do you think? It's a topic that is becoming up a lot more often than maybe it has done in the past. Why is it so important just now?
That's right. I mean, people are obviously saying this is the time for resilience, and to a degree they're right. However, what I would also say is it's always been the time. The costs of higher stress and lower resilience are individually and personally very painful. You know, the effects can be physical, they can be emotional, like anxiety, they can be psychological, and that leads to behavioural issues, all of which combine to result in falling performance, in addition to, of course, personal misery. And the reason why this has always been important is because this then can lead to serious organisational issues. And in this way, I suppose, resilience has now become a business imperative.
And can you raise resilience both on a kind of personal and or business level?
You can raise resilience. I wouldn't say there's a silver bullet, but protecting individual resilience will give organisations many benefits, which include more engagement, less absenteeism, more creativity, more collaboration, all of which ultimately lead to better results and winning. And this, for me, is why resilience has really been important for individuals and for businesses all the time. However, with COVID-19, I think it's fair to say that the time for resilience has now become even more critical. And in my opinion, leaders really should be prioritising resilience for themselves, for the people they lead, and for the businesses themselves. I suppose the good news is that there are building blocks or foundations which can help insulate us from stress and protect our resilience both personally and on an organisational level.
Okay, that's interesting, the kind of concept of foundation, because again, as a huge layman in this area, you kind of feel like stress would be different from one individual to another. But can you talk me through some of those foundations and kind of bring one of them to life, maybe?
Yeah, sure. This is based on the 30 years I've been working and time as a performance coach and a student of emotional intelligence. What I've really come to the conclusion of, that there are 7 foundations, and these are purpose, acceptance, adaptability, thinking, rights, belief, and focus. And of all those, I think the cornerstone foundation purpose is the one that we should really talk about, because this holds up all the other building blocks.
Yeah, definitely. I'm more interested in purpose, because you see purpose bandied around all the time. You know, an organization, you know, many of this audience will be in the HR or talent acquisition space, and they're always saying that, you know, employees want to work for an organization with purpose. Are we talking the same kind of purpose or different purpose?
I'm not sure what purpose you're talking about, Alan, but the purpose I'm talking about is really purposeful prioritization. What this means really is taking time to think about what is meaningful and most important to you, and then setting goals around these things. Spending time and energy on these important things and not being distracted by other stuff.
Right.
Establishing a purpose in many ways gives people a compass, therefore, which keeps people on track when they're in difficulty, which powers determination, persistence, and hope. I suppose we could all take a leaf out of the Olympians' book, really, because they get purpose. You know, it's usually about a personal best or a gold medal. And all activities they do are lined up to achieve this every day. And I guess, like the other foundations, it is common sense. However, most people just don't do it and get waylaid by busyness, which takes time away from the important goals and what really matters.
I think that busyness thing is a really interesting one.
Give you a flavour of...
Yeah, absolutely. I was just thinking to myself then and about the busyness thing. And I think you're right that most people probably get and fall into that trap quite easily. It's and actually it's much harder to kind of move yourself into a place where everything that you do works towards a common purpose. But likewise, I can understand why that's a good thing, as in it's a good thing that you do align yourself to a purpose, because it simplifies your life to a certain extent.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, all the coaching that I do, I still find it very odd why so many relatively senior leaders I work with complain of being too busy to even stand back and do what's important that week, that month, or that year. And eventually get to somewhere that means something. Taking this broader to the organization, I guess resilient leadership for me is about defining a business purpose bigger than profit, then giving the organization real clarity on this purpose. And for the leaders themselves, having a clear, distinctive set of values, which they constantly live by, giving them proper credibility. I mean, when I ran a business and now, the values I try to live with are rigor, reliability, authenticity, and compassion. All the leaders will have their own unique values. But again, this is linked to purpose.
That makes sense, absolutely. Why do some people struggle with that? Why do some people struggle to move away from busyness and move towards working towards a purpose?
I think people generally get sucked into urgent, you know, the email system, the phone calls, the things they feel that have to be done in the moment, but really aren't taking them to the place that's most important. So I think it's a natural thing, and people just need to take time to stand back and plan really about what is important to them and move forward. And like I say, Olympic athletes have got this off pat. They know exactly what their central purpose is, and all activities they do in the main, 90% of what they do are geared towards that purpose. And I do believe that that kind of concept should be true in business as well.
So you deprioritize anything that basically doesn't contribute towards your purpose.
Yeah. And move more activity away from just simply urgent and more towards important.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you see it in some of the world's most successful people, and you look at certain individuals, don't you, and think, wow, they must be under a lot of pressure stress, whatever. But actually, then you see them and you realize that often, you know, the likes of, I don't know, you're using some Bill Gates of this world, they always seem very relaxed and calm and comfortable in their own skin. And maybe it's because they've had that purpose that they're working towards, and they don't sweat the small stuff.
Absolutely. Sweating the small stuff is a terrible disease within business. And actually, with leaders in particular in business having a very clear purpose, it gives clarity for all the people that work within the organization, which is so important. And you know, sweating the small stuff really does get in the way of moving businesses forward, in my opinion. And purpose is so important. And like I say, when difficulty strikes, like this COVID-19 situation, you know, if you yourself have a very clear purpose and meaning and direction in both your life and your work life, this helps enormously combat the stress that you're going in, because you know the direction that you want to be headed, regardless of the difficulty.
Makes sense. So we talked, you talked earlier as well about the other six foundations.
Yeah.
Correct me if I got these wrong. There were acceptance, adaptability, thinking, belief, focus, and one other.
Yeah, the other one. Well, actually, the other one's right. You're right.
Right. Oh, well, okay. I did pretty well there.
You did. You did very well.
So they're all clearly different, but similar, I guess, in a way, because they go together and make up these foundations. I think more importantly in my mind is, can any of those things be taught or coached or learned?
Yeah, as you say, you're quite right. The other foundations are in some respects similar but very different. And I think what makes them similar is they all absolutely can be coached with practical exercise and then reflection. As most coaches will know, the steps of coaching and resilience coaching really are to increase self-awareness of what's currently happening and then get the individual to consider alternative approaches to things with the foundations as a context. And then finally, once you've raised the self-awareness, looked at alternative approaches, then putting new things into action in order to create new, more resilient habits.
Is there any way of assessing resilience from the outside?
Ooh, that's a good question. I've never really thought about that. The best way of doing assessing resilience is through a questionnaire at the beginning, where you can assess where people are in relation to the concept and in relation to the foundations, and where they may not realise where they're potentially weak. And you can then look at, after the coaching, how they answer the same questions, to see how the resilience needle shifted in each particular foundation. And these foundations, you know, aren't what I would call rocket science. You know, they're just common sense. However, when you're in the grip of a stress storm, this common sense often just falls by the wayside. You know, adaptability is all about opportunity action planning and looking for opportunities in problems. And often if you get sucked into the problem, you're just not doing that. And really the coaching is a way to make people realize they're not doing that and then help them do it in order to get over the stress that they're under at that moment in time, which is chipping away at the resilience.
It's interesting because you mentioned that, you know, increased levels of stress will lower resilience. So as those get higher, resilience gets lower. But do some people have just a natural ability to not allow themselves to get stressed? So you could have two people in exactly the same situation. One person finds it incredibly stressful and another doesn't. Why is that, I guess?
Yeah, so the resilience, I think the popular opinion about resilience is that it is an innate quality in itself, a combination of your genes and your personal experience. So you will have an absolute level of resilience, which may or may not be higher than mine, for example. However, what is true is that when we are under stress, which we'll both suffer, it will chip away at our resilience. Your level of resilience may be higher than mine, but it will be being reduced. And therefore,
right,
it will
okay.
be reducing your effectiveness. And if this impact is quite widespread, it will start hitting the organization in things like absenteeism, poor productivity, and low creativity. And that's why it's so important, particularly now.
Absolutely. Would you say you're resilient yourself, Nigel?
I think it's fair to say that I'm far more resilient now than I was in the past. I think the 30-plus years of hard labour in the corporate leadership world, my experience as a performance coach, my belief and knowledge of emotional intelligence, and the fact that I am somewhat of a worry-wired individual, have given me valuable insight. And I think, you know, you definitely live and learn. So I think my resilience actually has been going up. And I think I'm pretty good with purpose, but on other foundations, like, for example, focus and being present, there's definitely work to be done. But as I say, the good news is that there are resilient solutions housed within the foundations.
So there's ways of building, and that's the key thing, isn't it? It's all well and good discovering or pointing out to somebody that they're not particularly resilient and therefore potentially at risk of stress affecting them more than somebody who is more resilient. But if that's the end of the story, it's almost no point talking about it. But the fact that there are ways and means of individuals and organisations building up that resilience for now and for the future, I think that's the key thing to take away from this.
Definitely. It is about working on these key areas, these foundations, to reduce stress. And therefore, no matter what your innate level of resilience is at the start point, it's about trying to raise it, not let it get declined, let it fall. And ending on a very flippant note, you asked me if I'm resilient. I mean, I've been supporting Leeds United for the last 48 years. I'm very confident that this will have done wonders for my resilience muscles. And anyone that understands football will understand what I'm talking about.
Well, as a Sheffield Wednesday fan, I would fight tooth and nail to say I'm a damn sight more resilient than you are.
Yes. Actually thinking about it, you might have a point there, yeah.
But maybe that's the time to end this podcast. To Sheffield, a Sheffield Wednesday fan and a Leeds United fan in harmony, chatting away in friend, almost friends, without coming, without being at each other's throats.
Very nice. I feel my resilience going up by the second. Lovely.
Lovely. Thanks, Nigel. Thanks for your time. Much appreciated.
Yes, thank you. Thanks, Alan. All the best.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Head over to chattalent.com. for more blogs, vlogs, webinars, and other great content about HR, talent, and recruiting. Everything you could possibly need. Enjoy!